Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. Listening to your heart speak daily allows you to align your thinking, feeling, and doing with your spirit. It is by letting your heart matter that you will be able to live from the inside out. Each week you receive an email if you've signed up for it. If not, you can just listen and tune in. That has a little quote that goes along with it. And the heart energy this week that you received on Saturday morning was love. And the little quote says that love wraps everything with a veil of soft okayness.
I'm pretty sure you made that word up.
I think I did make the word up, but it says a lot. I like it a lot. A veil of soft okayness. And I hope today that you're going to get a real view of love, because it's something every single person longs for, they want. All of relationship problems are because they don't think the other person's loving them enough or in the right way, or they don't know how to love the other person. Love is a complicated thing, subject that goes on. And for 6 years, I did radio shows pushing my book Soulmate or Cellmate, which talks about our distortions of love and how to bring it to the right way, how to really find love in a relationship, how to create a soulmate relationship, which is a love relationship. And every single show, everyone wanted to go back to say, oh, well, isn't love just basically compromise? Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. It's much more than that. In fact, I don't even like that word around it. So we're going to talk about it, and we hope you have meditated with us. If not, listen and be quiet and go inward and see what your heart is saying about it. I want to start with the picture I got. And when we meditate, you know, you can just go deep into that way out space where your spirit is connecting on a higher level. But when you come back, you need to get that relaxed so that you actually go into that zone. But as you come back, you'll come back with thoughts, you'll come back with images, and we try to bring those thoughts and images that we come back with to you, because that gives us something to discuss. When you're out there in the ozone, you're not really registering with your mind. But your mind does need to function. That doesn't need to be the ending place, but it needs to function so that you can bring this stuff back to your life and bring heaven to earth. So sometimes we start with a story and sometimes with our picture, but my story fits so much with my picture, I need to share it first. On our deck, we have real comfortable deck chairs.
Adirondack chairs.
Adirondack chairs, real comfortable. And there's a chiminea. And we love to sit out there in the cool, like it's getting now in the fall, and have a little fire in the chiminea and sit out there and just veg. Well, in my meditation, the image that I came back with was me sitting there wrapped. I have a very soft, fleecy, violet-colored blanket. And I was wrapped in this blanket, watching the fire, sitting there all cozy and at ease with the world, focused on the fire, and my mind wasn't doing anything. My emotions were quiet and just comfortably holding me, and I was wrapped physically and at ease. And that was my picture, and the symbolism in it was just incredible, because the violet is purity to me, mm-hmm. and the fire is the spiritual, and holding, it was the holding of my mental focus on the spiritual, and the chair is comfort to me and relaxation, And then, of course, the feeling that I get when I'm there is that it, at peace with the world. All of that, the focus on the heart, that no tension in the body, the strong feeling of being at ease with the world, all of that and all of the bodies is love coming through you. So that picture was so powerful for me that I, you know, it brought up other stories and memories in my life, but I wanted to share that first. What did you get, Russell?
Well, my meditation was different than that. I didn't have, and usually I'm a pretty visual person, but I didn't have much of a visual this time. I got some silhouettes and some shapes, but more than visual, it was a feeling. I physically felt things and heard sounds. It was like I was, you know, in the early morning hours when there's a little bit of light in the sky, but mostly you're feeling your way around. It was kind of like that. And I started off with just this feeling of rocking, like a mother holds a little baby in her arms and rocks. It was just sort of that back and forth rocking motion. And then it morphed into the tide going in and out. Same sort of
movement.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I heard the sound of the ocean and everything. I didn't really see the waves, but I felt them. And then eventually the feeling became more centered on my breath going in and out. Same sort of thing. Breath in, breath out, just like the waves, just like the mother rocking the baby. And it was that feeling that I think my spirit was wanting me to focus on, that sense of being held but being constantly in motion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was hard for me to get a grasp on that because I'm used to a picture rich with details like you described, and this had very little details. It was all sort of feeling, but the more I let my left brain work with it, the sense I got was that my higher self was trying to point out to me that love is not, it's not just a feeling, it's not just a place, it's not an X on a map that you go stand on and say, I am in love, but it's more a state of being that you participate with. It's an activity. It's got motion. You have to be moving with it and participating with it. You can't just stand there and feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you can stand there and feel it, but love is such, has such movement in its, in the energy of love, that it rocks and moves and resonates and flows. Yeah.
Yeah. We usually think of it as a very static thing. You know, either you are in love with somebody, you are in love with the world, you feel loved, or you don't. Period. End of story.
I think we see it as static because we don't stay in it very long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after I got my picture, memories come. Sometimes they come first, but usually it's after I've gone deep into meditation and I come back with some visuals. Since I'm so right-brained, I usually get the visuals first. When I was growing up, we had a big front porch that had a porch swing. And sometimes I would sit there by myself and just in the evening be aware of nature because I walked a lot. I was in nature a lot. I liked it. Sometimes I would sit there with a friend, and
mm-hmm.
it's just, again, but that movement that you had in yours was that, even though we wouldn't necessarily be talking,
mm-hmm.
Just that sense of okayness, that being, feeling all as well with the world, and that the comfort and the mind just sort of focused on the essence rather than what am I going to say next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that sense again that came up for me, and then, you know, that's sort of an inactive one. But then I was also remembering my grandmother. I really loved my grandmother very, very, very much, and we did several activities because my mother worked and grandmother lived right behind us, and she'd come and help me fix supper every night, not every night, but many nights. And I was responsible for bringing the clothes in. Now, we did not have a clothes dryer. Mother insisted that clothes should be out in the sun to get nice and white,
mm-hmm.
and smell fresh. So we still brought the clothes in from the line. And it was my job to do that, fold the clothes, get the clothes ready for ironing that needed to be ironed, and to make the beds. Grandmother helped me with that. And, you know, it's not that we were totally quiet in that, that we would talk to. But, it, again, it was that sense of okayness, wrapped in that veil of okayness. Mm-hmm. It was in that being right with the world. That at ease, that sense of connectedness, the movement between us. It wasn't just grandmother over there and me over here. It was that movement flow between us that you were talking about that connected us, mm-hmm. that made us feel like we were working together, that we were one, that I knew I was loved and she knew she was loved.
Hmm. Yeah. My story is kind of similar, actually. The more I sat with that meditation, the more stories came up. And, you know, there's hundreds of places in your life where you've experienced love. And I had so many stories, I couldn't hardly come up with a story because there's just, you know, well, what do I say? You know, I can talk about a billion things. But the one that I focused on was from about, I'm going to say I was about seven, maybe 8 years old. You know, when you're a little kid, if you grow up in a house where your parents love you, you're just loved from the beginning. And so it's hard to distinguish what that is. You know, it's like talking about the oxygen you breathe. It's just there. So the first time you really notice love is usually when you connect in that energy with somebody outside your parents. And I remember when I was about seven, we went to visit your parents, and it was when they still lived in that house in downtown Exeter. And your father, my grandfather, was a big, imposing man, very gruff manner sometimes. And so, you know, I was kind of afraid of him at first. It was hard for me to think of him as, you know, my grandfather. You know, he loves me. But he took me fishing one time, and we went way out in the country to some trout stream that he knew about and had gone to as a boy. And we were in this old station wagon that they had, and we're bouncing over these country roads.
The name of that station wagon was Beetlebaum.
Beetlebaum, okay. We were bouncing over these country roads, and we get to this place where the trout stream's supposed to be, and somebody has put a fence up over the road, like it's, you know, off limits now. And he got out, and I was like, well, what do we do now, Grandfather? And he said, well, you know, I'm not going to take my grandson home without fishing. So he was a very strong man, and he went up and lifted the gate off its hinges. Now, I quote helped, but he was doing all the work, really. And, you know, I was 7 years old. He just sets the gate aside. We drive through down to the stream. We fished. We caught a couple of little perch or something, and get back in the car, lift the gate back onto the hinges, and drive away. And we both thought that was so funny that we had pulled a fast one on whoever thought that they were going to keep us out. And, you know, we just chuckled about it back and forth between ourselves, you know. And at that moment, as I'm once again feeling that rocking motion, I'm just bouncing along on the shot springs of that old station wagon on these bumpy roads, just sharing this moment with my grandfather where we had done something together. You know, we had a little secret now. We had been on an adventure together, you know, I was worried about the fish. You know, these don't look like they're big enough to eat. And he told me that we could plant the fish at the base of these two little saplings that he was going to put down by the road. That's how the Indians fertilized the trees. And so I was like, oh, okay, the fish won't go to waste. And I had that sense of okayness. Everything was right with the world. I was bouncing along, and I'm with my grandfather, and I just discovered that he really loves me. And we have this little secret that we're laughing about, and even the fish are going to be taken care of, and there won't be any waste. And everything was perfect in that moment. And that's when I really knew the energy of love outside of my immediate family.
Yeah. But, you know, these are stories where it was easy to feel that love, and mm-hmm. I guess that's because they come up first, because it was easy. But there have been times when I've been with people in very difficult situations, and I just still felt those same feelings and that sense of flowing between us that was real. There has to be a real energy flowing between you, a heart energy, for that to happen. But sometimes their pattern can be an expression. I had this happen actually this weekend. My husband and I were hanging some pictures, lots of pictures actually. And I'm very spatial, and he's very physical. So I bring my spatial picture, and he of where to put them, and he does the hanging of the pictures. And at one point, I was feeling that flow. But at another point, when I fell out of love, and to show how that can get blocked, I got real worried that he wasn't going to carry out my picture.
Mm-hmm.
And but instead of communicating with it, I just was feeling like, well, he's supposed to do his part now. So I just stood back and I thought, oh, my gosh, he's putting it in the wrong place. Instead of, I got caught in the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately I said, okay. We need to talk about this. We've missed a piece of connecting here. I just turned it over to him, but I'm not connected to him. So we talked about it, and we changed the picture, and we talked about where it should be, or should it go up or down, or, and we talked about it, and we even made a special trip back where we could do it together, because you can't really have love if you're not in partnership,
mm-hmm.
in some way. On, you know, some energetic connect that's real. And not just turn it over to them, but have that connect. And in that moment of going back and looking at this picture that wasn't quite where I wanted it to be, we were able at that point to make the real partnership connect. Whereas we've been working smoothly before. I just did my part and he did his mm-hmm. part, but we weren't necessarily in partnership in that flow back and forth between us.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame somebody wasn't there to supervise, Rodney.
Oh, goodness. Okay, where are we? Let's see. We need to acknowledge a sponsor. If I can find one, here we go. This is a place where you can go to take a vacation, to get away from it all, and to go home healthier. This is the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. It offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is where retreat becomes renewal. You can check it out at ottawahee.com, online, ottawahee.com, ADAWEHI.com. It's a wonderful place to come and not only just be in love with another person, with the flow between you, but with that flow with nature, and all the people that live here live in heartful ways. So there's a lot of opportunity for that flow of heart energy to flow between you and other people. This is the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat, and you can find it at ottawahee.com. This is from Bill in Orlando. Bill missed us last week. Glad to have you back, Bill. To me, love is fleeting. As long as I am what people want, I am loved. Then when someone is mad at me, they take their love away. I've pretty much given up on love. I don't see how it can be any different. I think a lot of people feel this way. I really do, because they have a picture of what love should be, and it's mostly something that makes them feel good rather than realizing that they have the feeling within them and it's just being shared. they see people making them feel loving rather than the sharing of love that you saw in your rocking of the waves back and forth. And so I would say to you, Bill, that you need to focus on the feeling of your heart energy for that day. In fact, that's one of my baby steps, is be sure you emotionally feel the heart energy each day and hold that feeling sort of as a point of reference, because that flowing energy goes through the water element. And that's that emotional body, and it's your point of reference. And that way you know with every person that you feel that flow, that harmonious flow with, the, beyond their patterns, just the feeling of who they're bringing themselves to, not what they're making you feel, but who they are. Feeling with who they are, if you have that rocking feeling of who they are with the anchoring of who you are, you're in harmony with them. You're in love. But if you lose that feeling of you and how your heart feels each day, you've lost your point of reference.
Yeah.
And then you're just waiting for them to make you feel heartful or make you feel good, and they become the owner of love.
Yeah, I studied a lot of philosophy and comparative religions in college, and since then it's still a fascinating subject for me. And the Buddhists refer to that selfish love where you want to, you know, possess a person and give something to them to make them happy so that they'll give something back to you. They refer to that as kama, and it's considered a block to enlightenment. So you're supposed to try and, you know, rise above that kind of love. And that higher love, where you are experiencing that flow that we talked about, that back and forth flow, that rocking sensation with that veil of okayness that spreads over everything, they call that karana. And the highest form of karana is the bodhisattva, which is an enlightened being who has chosen not to ascend and leave behind this life of struggle, but to stay in this life and help the rest of the world. And, you know, as a spiritual teacher, you've always sort of symbolized that for me, because I've witnessed you over and over again going through a lesson that I knew you didn't need to go through. You had already mastered that particular concept, but you go through lessons with people to help them get the lesson. And that's been a huge boon to me. When I find myself in a situation like Bill, where I feel that, you know, nothing matters, nobody loves me, blah, 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 I will draw on that idea of, you know, are you doing this selfishly to feel love, or are you doing this because you truly want to see the vibration on this planet get higher? And it's helped me over and over again. I'm out walking and I see a piece of trash and I think, you know, well, I don't have anything, I don't have any pockets, I don't want to carry this all the way home. And I'm about to go on and I'll stop and I'll pick it up. And I say, you know, are you out on this walk because you want to participate with nature, or are you just wasting time here? Mm-hmm. And if you want to participate with nature, pick up the trash. Bring that completion, bring that clearing, even though it's not personally something you need.
And when you do that, that very action is your very your great opportunity to have that resonance or that flow of nature, the feeling of nature with the feeling of who you are that day with your heart energy. And you can have love with any heart energy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's completion that you are feeling, sometimes it's purity. Sometimes it's honoring, or sometimes for me it's just the very sacredness of nature, and I want the purity and sacredness to remain.
Absolutely. And whenever I get in that place of feeling unloved or lonely or whatever, if I can pull up to that place, that higher place where love, the highest form of love, is service to the whole and not just a feeling that makes me feel better, then it usually snaps me right out of those places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, your mental intent, your goal that you focus on. Sometimes when people's patterns totally clash with that, we forget about love. But if we hold that intent and the feeling, the power of those two resonating together within us will have more power to pull out. But if we just focus on one or the other, then we have divided ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about the Soulmate or Cellmate book. It has so many tools and how to come to that place of being in relationship so that it is a loving relationship. We bring our lessons to relationship. We bring our nasty patterns. Even though we may be heartful, the pattern will seem nasty. Even if it isn't nasty to one person, it may be nasty to us if it doesn't fit our picture.
Right.
We can't help it. We're human, and that's what we bring. And so it's very, very important to learn how to love with all of that going on. And the Soulmate or Cellmate book is full of tools. The whole book is about that, basically, where you really begin to see that you get to define and hold the goals, heartful goals for your relationship, and then feel who you are each day and let those goals be filled with the partnership of your two hearts loving each other. Rather than say, okay, we're going to do these things in order to create love. In other words, we're going to be these things to fill the space that we've defined as love, rather mm-hmm. than the other way around. Am I making sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's that participating in the motion rather than just standing there and expecting it to...
Well, and it's using the mind and the emotions in that what we tend to do is we define what we're going to do to make it a loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, I have heartful goals that we're going to have kindness or we're going to have commitment or we're going to have loyalty or, you know, we're going to have some of these heart energies as our goals. And then each day as you meditate, who you are that day will help fill that goal.
Right.
So that holding that feeling of love then has a place to go, a container to flow into. You flow from love into your containers rather than your containers creating love.
Yeah, that's the reason that I was thinking, you mentioned the Soulmate or Cellmate, and I think that's a wonderful resource, but I was also thinking of our CD, that workshop CD, Love is the First Cause.
Yes.
That speaks a lot to what you just said, and I think that would be a wonderful support for people around this energy.
Yes, it would. It would. But love, as much as it is needed, wanted, and is the first cause of every single interaction, determining whether it's going to be a beneficial one or not, is the most important thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's probably less understood than any other thing. Talked about the most, presented in so many different ways, and yet really in the spiritual sense of love, probably the least understood of all spiritual concepts.
Well, you know, it's so big and all-encompassing and so basic, it underlies almost everything, that I get the sense of everybody having, you know, a piece of it, like that story of the blind men all describing different parts of the elephant that they were touching. And I think everybody thinks that they know love because they're touching one part of the elephant, and they think everybody else is just out to lunch because they're describing some totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. It could be, too. We have an email from Teresa in Asheville. Why is it that most people think love is an emotion?
I think that a large part of it is, as you said, we first experience it through the water element. We feel the flow of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so intoxicating that, like I said, that basic sense of being rocked and moving in and out with the waves that we get even as fetuses in the womb, where we're kind of bouncing around in our mother's womb. that sense is so basic to us that we constantly want to go back to that, and so we focus on that feeling of the flow, and we leave out all the other bodies sometimes.
But the basic place, the heart connects, not that love is an emotion, but love has to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it gets confusing. And if it's felt, then we build on everything else. As I said, if we can feel love, then everything that we resonate with, we know whether we're in harmony with it or not. We mm-hmm. don't have to guess at the words to see if they fit what we believe. We know if we're in harmony with it. Not if they have the same picture, or in, they can be in total disagreement with you, and you still have that basic rocking mm-hmm. of the feeling of harmony, because you are feeling who you are that day as the heart energy. Then you can build on what we're going to do to meet our goals,
mm-hmm.
because then it will flow out into it.
Yeah, feeling the underlying energy instead of just feeling whether you're getting what you want or not.
Yes. It is time for another sponsor. This is the I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter gives jelly, partners well with jelly. It gives jelly a place to spread. It gives sandwiches a place to have zing. I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter spreads and tastes just like peanut butter, but without the peanut allergy concern. In fact, over 4,000 schools, daycares, and Head Starts serve this product daily because it's so healthy. It contains 30% less fat than peanut butter and is cholesterol-free, as well as offering 8 grams of soy protein per serving. So get this for your children's lunch sandwiches. That way you're giving them a healthy lunch to make it through the day. It will not only strengthen their bodies, but their minds. I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. We have an email from Nina in Nashville, Tennessee. It says, love makes me think of the movie Billy Elliot. That boy was so sure that the love he felt for his parents on some higher level would bring his parents to him. Do you wish to comment? I didn't watch that movie.
Well, I saw Billy Elliot. That was about the boy that was the dancer, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one. Okay.
I'm also remembering August Rush, which I think may have gotten confused in there.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked both those movies. The theme that jumped out at me from what you read related more to August Rush, which was just that sense of being connected to everything, that he never lost faith because he never really felt the connection was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what love does for me more than anything, is it provides that, like you said, even when you don't feel good about the situation, it provides that underlying feeling of being held, of still having movement and flow. I got on the internet the other day, and when I knew that the love was our energy, and typed in love, and there's a site called the Love Calculator, it's a simple little page, and you type in your name and the name of somebody else, and it will tell you what the percentage chance of a relationship between the two of you working out is. So I typed in my name and my wife's name. I assume it works off of the numerology of how many letters in your name or whatever. There was like a 25% chance that we would be a good match for each other. So I went and told her, I said, you know, it's going to be hard work from now on, honey. All the easy stuff is gone. There's only a 25% chance we're going to make it. But we do have not the easiest relationship in the world. We have had to work at it. But that underlying sense of love is what I go back to all the time whenever we are not matching in our pictures or butting heads because we've got a totally different sense of what communication should be or what sharing is, you know, and we do. We come from polar opposites around a lot of energies. But if I can continue to feel that sense of being held in the love and that the motion of it, then it doesn't let me get stuck in the what's not working in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And if you can remember who you are that day and feel it, and you both start with your meditation each day and she can share the feeling of who she is that day, you can start on a harmonious note.
Mm-hmm.
Which helps also.
Yes, it does.
And you can go back to that because that's who you are. You can go back to remembering that when you're in a crunchy position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And please hear me when I'm saying that feeling who you are as the heart energy is not the same thing as calling feeling good about the situation or the other person love.
Right.
Because if you're going to stay in a relationship very long, I guarantee some lessons will come up between you, and it's not going to feel very good. And as you say, it's remembering that sense of flow, connection, that well-being between you. But you can have it every day. If people would start every day that way. You know, Rodney and I always share our pictures, and we have a mental name for it, so we have a goal of who we're trying to be that day, but we don't always share the feelings. And that's important, but it's so hard to share feelings. You know, we tend to say what we feel about the picture we just saw. Well, that's not the same thing. That's, again, letting the mental take the lead instead of the heart speak directly to the feelings. So words kind of leave you with feelings, and that's why I think it's harder for us to do that. But if we can at least know what we're feeling and just be there with the other person and sense their feeling, then we can sense if there's that harmonious flow between us.
Yeah.
And begin to see how his energy, which may be different than mine each day, but how there is a harmony between those. And then as we explain the pictures, if we've started from the base of feeling, then it'll be easier to see how they fit together rather than just our minds trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
This email's from Nellie in Columbus, North Carolina. Please address the issue of tough love. Wow, thank you, Nellie. That's very important. I had to have real tough love with my younger son. And because I loved him and he was headed down a bad road, he had decided to drop out of school. And nothing I could say could convince him but that he would drop out of school. Now, he went back and got his GED and went on as a fine man with a good job and a fine family. But you know, he was in that state of rebellion, and he didn't like what school stood for, and he did have ADD, and it was hard for him. But he just decided it was killing him, and he was going to drop out. Well, he just sat around and did nothing. And so in tough love, because I cared about him and who he was in his heart, who he was as a spiritual being rather than just as a physical son, I said to him, you have until Christmas to find a job and a place to live. If you're not going to go to school, you're not just going to hang out here at the house. You're going to get a job and you're going to support yourself. That's your next step if you're not in school. That was tough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I basically was kicking him out of the house, and I didn't feel he was ready to do that, but I didn't like him staying there because I didn't feel any harmonious resonance between us. Who I was being as a mother and as in that role with him was one of structure because he was very unstructured. And so nearly all my interactions with him brought forth that hard energy of structure with me. And there was no harmony. He brought no structure or nothing similar to that. You know? And so to have that love restored between us, I had to have some tough love. Now, he got the job. He got a place to live. He did all that by Christmas. And it didn't make him feel good about me.
Right.
He was still mad at me. But there began to be a flow between us. I could feel a harmony with him. Now, he was still in his anger and not filling his heart into his emotional body at all. So he didn't feel anything good towards me. But I could be in love with him again. And that same child, recently, I took a trip to Seattle. Again, he was angry with me. He fills his emotional space around me with anger a lot. Probably started back then. And if we just want somebody to feel good about us, then we're not going to really have love. Because there's nobody that all the time is. And even if they do, it doesn't necessarily mean they love you. That just means they like you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went again to bring who I was to that relationship and see if I could find a harmony with who he was. And I could find it in other areas of his life by looking at his life. Not, you know, he still had a space in there around me, around anger, but I could love other parts of him, even if he didn't feel that back towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And while what we call tough love was me saying, you've got to find a job and you've got to, you know, you've got to move out if you're not going to go to school, that was tough love action. But the toughest love is when he stays angry with me, finding things in his life that are heartful that I can have that flowing resonance with.
Yeah.
You want to comment on that?
Well, I don't have much to add to that, just that I did feel that you loved Dave, even while you were doing that. I could feel the love under what you were doing. I myself had gotten kind of fed up with Dave at that point. And it helped me to not shut him out of my life, to think, well, you know, Jackie's setting this hard boundary, and yet I can still feel she loves him. So it was helpful for me to connect in love to him when I just wanted to go, well, he's a screw up. I'm going to write him off, you know, because I was wanting to shut my heart. And I could see that yours was still open, even though you were setting these tough boundaries.
Yeah. Thank you. This is an email from Jennifer. Thank you for the show. It's awesome. My focus today has been on loving the energy behind all the happenings and people in my day. I sometimes get confused about how an energy feels in the moment and don't really get to experience the love in that moment. Any tips to keep me in the moment? Do you want me to start with that, or you want to?
I'll start with that. Rodney's son, Robbie, is learning Chinese, and he was talking to me about, you know, how difficult it is to sometimes communicate in the Chinese culture, in their way of communicating, because they're so roundabout, you know, that's they never come right out and directly say anything. And I was kind of fascinated by that concept, and I was studying it. I found a book in the library that was talking about that. And Chinese is what they call a high context language, in that a lot of what you say, you don't say directly. It's taken from the context. A lot of reading between the lines. And the same thing can mean something totally different depending on the sentences around it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even,
boy, you could really mess up.
Even certain words mean different things depending on the inflection, depending on whether they're at the end of the sentence or the beginning of the sentence. It's very, very context-oriented. English is a very low context language. You know, we basically, the word translates specifically into a concept. And if you mean that concept, you say that word. but it's totally different in Chinese. And because of that, they don't say I love you a lot. That's a very rare phrase, even amongst Chinese people who are dating or married or whatever. They hardly ever say I love you. And the book I was reading explained that in a really cool way. It said that since everything to them is context, if you have to say it directly, perhaps it's because you're not really thinking it, feeling it, living it enough.
In that moment, in that context.
That if you were really being that, the other person wouldn't, they would pick up on it and there would be no need to say it. But if you have to come out and say it, it means you're not really being it.
Wow.
And
which
so,
is true. A lot of times people say it just to manipulate, to get the other person to love them back.
So that to me was a clue of you know, when I'm having trouble with an energy, I try and stop talking about it and say, is there any way that I can get across to the people around me what I'm being today without having to say it to them? You know, can I infuse my doing, my feeling, my thinking with this so much that somebody would just come up to me and go, wow, you must be the energy of commitment today? You know, and that's been very helpful for me, mm-hmm. to get out of the idea that an energy is something that comes to you in your meditation and you think of it as a word and then maybe a picture and then maybe a feeling. But instead start with, this is who I'm being today. Let me see if I can be it enough that it just automatically translates mm-hmm. out into everything I say and everything I feel mm-hmm. and what people pick up from me.
Right. And if you're feeling who you're being, then every word you say will be in the context of that
mm-hmm.
rather than about it. It will come from it rather than just talk about
yeah.
it.
And I'm a very direct person. And my first instinct was, well, that's crazy, you know, silly Chinese people. Why don't they just come right out and say what they mean? But the more I thought about it, the more sense it made that we miss some things sometimes by just saying, oh, today I'm the energy of commitment. Now, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Instead say, well, I'm not going to give it a name. I'm just going to try and be it enough that I begin to know without even having to think about it what it is for me.
Mm-hmm. And that comes from a feeling base.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't anchor it in the feeling, you'll not have that flow of water or that resonance that the emotional brings between you, so that you know whether you're in harmony or not. In other words, if you are in the same context.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's very good. It's very good. I don't think I can add a thing to that. Not a thing. We have another sponsor. BountifulBuys.com. It's a place where you can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, books, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. It's a way you can help everyone concerned. The planet, everyone on it, yourself, your pocketbook, your family. BountifulBuys.com. And, you know, we're in October. We're going into the season of Christmas shopping. Don't forget, BountifulBuys.com. We have an email from Julie in Lake Lure. That's in North Carolina. My meditation this morning showed me standing in clear water with bare feet and bending down to pick up any of the colorful crystals on the ground that I wanted. It made me feel the road to love was through clear emotions and all facets are available. What a pretty picture that was.
Uh-huh.
That was spectacular, Julie. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I don't know that I can add a thing to that. That's just pretty.
No, I love the piece about clearing your emotions. That
uh-huh.
you know, there is going to be no flow that you can feel if you're cluttered up.
And when you are clear, then all the colorful crystals are on the ground saying all the different facets that you're needing to add to who you are and resonate in harmony are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really pretty. I like that. I like that a lot. This is from JoJo in Spartanburg, South Carolina. What if we never had that rocking, holding love that you talk of? I can't relate to that. I'm afraid I'm not love. Well, it's, you can think of it as a rocking because that was the picture that he got, or you can think of it as a resonance or a harmony or a sense of well-being between you and the other person, that no matter whether you're arguing or disagreeing or agreeing or getting along well, that sense of knowing that the other person is real, say in the energy of commitment, that they have commitment, and that in that relationship they're bringing commitment, and you know that you can love in that energy. Maybe you know they have loyalty. Maybe they have sharing, and that's the only energy that you share that love in. But we want it. We're greedy folks. We want to be loved in everything.
Yeah.
Well, in the book Soulmate or Cellmate, I talk about, you know, you're doing well if you can pick three love energies in a relationship that you really have good harmony around. Now, every day you come and you bring to that. For instance, my husband and I have a definition that one of our energies, love energies, is play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whoever we are that day, we can bring it to whatever play we do. But still the goal and the container that we're bringing our feeling to is, then we're adding to and filling up, is that goal or that container, definition, whatever you want to call it, of play. So when we're in total fight or disagreement, sometimes I just remember that under that we love each other in play. We love each other in nurturing. We love each other in growth. We love each other in those energies, that we've experienced that flow between us in those. I see it in his life. He sees it in my life. And sometimes when we're in the middle of a fight, in fact, sometimes he gets madder, I will remember something really funny he has said, and it actually can bring me to laughter. He thinks I'm laughing at him, and then he gets really mad. But it makes that connect back again. It's mm-hmm. the same thing I talked about with my son Dave, in that I had to go and look at his life and see who he was in context of his life and connect with those energies. So, JoJo, what I would say is, in any relationship you're in, look at the person and see what energy they share, heart energy, whether it's kindness or compassion or friendship or whatever they share that you have strongly, and begin to experience that energy feeling between you. And then you can talk about it and find out what their picture of that looks like and your picture, and begin to merge where those touch. But start with that feeling and then build on it and define from it.
Yeah, I would add to that that we've talked several times, you've mentioned it, when you find a negative spot in your life, try the 2-for-1 rule, where you try and empower something twice as much as you've been hurt by it or complained about it or something. I would extend that to this situation. In fact, that's the first baby step that I thought of, is there's always some place in your life where there is resonance. See if you can come up with two places of resonance for every place where you feel unloved.
Yeah, because it's easy to be in situations where you want to say, I have a lot of humor, mm-hmm. and sometimes I want to bring that humor. And there are a lot of people that have no humor.
Right.
So there's not that flow between us. And so, you know, you go away feeling kind of down. So I go away thinking, okay, what do they have? At least one thing. And then I come to the next person and think what they have to get the two to the one, because being in a loveless world can pull you down.
Yeah.
It can really, really pull you down. And pretty soon you get depressed.
Yeah.
And you can even be in a world where lots of good ideas are floating around, or even in a world with lots of money and things, and be depressed. There's a lot of depression in our world. I mean, Prozac is a number one seller.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Sarah. It says, this is Russell's daughter and my granddaughter. I love you, Nana and Dad. I am bringing love as much as I can to everything I do today. That's precious. Thank you.
You know, when I had kids, it was a revelation to me that when they're, you know, brand new little babies and you sneak into their nursery and look in their crib and see them, watch them sleep, you can just feel your heart expand each time you do that. And you think, well, you know, I love as much as I can love. I love myself. I love my wife, and that's how come we had kids, and now I love my kids. And each time you go in there and look at them, you feel it expand a little more. And it's amazing how much love being part of something bigger can bring you. So my second baby step was become a part of something bigger. Join a church, join a team, start a family, try your hand at relationship. Do something where it's not just your heart, where you're putting your heart in the mix with somebody else's and trying to touch and connect in the places where your hearts come together. It will almost always be a little difficult, but I have never found that your heart got smaller because you tried to be a part of something.
And the CD, the workshop, Love is the First Cause, and the book, Soulmate or Cellmate, both have wonderful tools. We have time for one more, I think. This is from Elaine in St. Louis, Missouri. How do you know when you're feeling the heart and not just trying to fill an emotional need? That emotional part of us that wants instant gratification. We want to instantly have them like us. We want them instantly to make us feel loved and happy. And we want from. When we're wanting from, we pretty much know we're in an emotional need. When we're wanting from. Or when we're not wanting, when we don't want them to be mad at us or to not dislike us, you know, we don't want that. What we want or don't want outside is an emotional need.
Mm-hmm.
So to get out of that, I would recommend to Elaine that she start each day trying to feel, like we said, feel who she is after her meditation and her heart energy. How does she feel that? Who is she feeling she is today? And that's a beginning. Do you want to add to that?
I just go back to my meditation, that feeling of the tides and the breath, that moving with a person. It's like the yin-yang symbol that they talk about in martial arts like Tai Chi. It's like dancing with a person. You have to feel that you're participating with love. Very often when we're in that needy place of wanting to be loved and wanting to feel good and feel like somebody patted us on the head, there's no dance in that. There's no, you know, sway, no push-pull. It's very static. And if you feel that static place, that's to me the warning sign that you need to go back and try and find the feeling that you talked about underneath all that.
We have a wonderful, wonderful compliment here from Diane in New York, New York. Thank you for this wonderful radio show. I've taken your advice and bought some of the CDs. I'm grateful for all the encouragement and wisdom you offer in these recordings. Also, the questions have made me more aware of things I have not wanted to look at and have not wanted to clear out. I have a friend who's grieving the loss of her husband of many years. I recommended Three Faces of Grief, that CD, and it has been helping her a lot. Thank you again for this very supportive show. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. So we appreciate your comments. We appreciate your questions, your sharing with us your pictures, your experiences. Continue to do so. Put us on your Facebook. Tell your friends, spread the word so we can continue the show. We will be back with you next Monday. And make sure that your heart matters every single day. Thank you.